Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. I am Adriel Pearl, and it's time for your TNA Impact post show for September 26th, 2024. That's the right date, is it not? Yes, we just finished another episode of TNA Impact, the last of the Texas shows. And this was a good show. I quite enjoyed myself. I'm looking forward to what's coming up next in TNA land. They're going to Spartanburg, South Carolina, but I'll say it at the top of the show, TNA has done a very good job of putting it out there in socials. They couldn't do it tonight because the show was already in the can. So here I am doing my part. If you are attending the shows in Spartanburg, you should probably know that because of the hurricane that's been going through that part of the country, of the U.S., they have moved the tapings to Sunday and Monday night. Okay? It's still the same venue, but they're running Sunday and Monday night instead. Check TNAwrestling.com. They've got all the information there. If you need refunds or anything like that, it's all there. But I'm putting it out there because TNA have also been putting it out there. And of course, spreading it out is just the least that someone like me can do. So welcome to the show. If you haven't already, leave a thumbs up on the video. And of course, subscribe to us here at YouTube.com/Fightful and over on Fightful Overbook. That's our sister channel where you can see me most of the time with Jeremy Lambert. We host In the Weeds, our morning show here on Fightful. We interview wrestlers, we talk about the news and results from the wrestling world, and we get a little weird sometimes, because if we can't, then what are we really doing here? Here we talk about TNA. On In the Weeds, yeah, okay, sometimes we talk about TNA too, and I'm sure some of the stuff from tonight's show will bleed into what we talk about tomorrow. But if you want to support us here on this show, you can go ahead and donate a super chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, or you can go to humperchats.com. Same situation, any amount, get your question or statement read on the air, and we appreciate it if you head over there or if you donate a super chat. Both are great, and we appreciate you greatly. Shall we get into it? FightfulSelect.com has all the news. We'll get into that a little bit later too, okay? Impact opens up with Jordynne Grace and Sol Ruca from NXT coming in to take on Wendy Chu and Rosemary. I love the best friend bit from Ariana Grace. It's so stupid. It's so silly, but it's just perfect. I hope that she continues to do this every time she shows up, regardless of gender. I hope that Ariana Grace says, my close, personal, best friend. And if it's someone from NXT, I don't know how she's going to do it, you know, for anyone in TNA. Maybe she's my new best friend. I just met them today. I don't care how she does it. I think it's a funny little bit that just makes little to no sense, but works considering who she is. So shout out to Ariana Grace. Match itself was good. Sol Ruca gets a lot of shine in this match. You can definitely tell that there are people in WWE who are high up on Sol Ruca, and for good reason, because she is not only very talented, but she is someone that people gravitate towards. She's very good in the ring. She's learning at a very quick pace. Teaming her with someone like Jordynne Grace makes a lot of sense, especially because this all started when Sol Ruca answered the Jordynne Grace Knockouts Championship Open Challenge on NXT a few weeks back. That got dismantled basically by Wendy Chu and Rosemary. So that led to this tag match on TNA grounds, which is neat. I like that there's at least some crossover there. And this talent exchange is working the way it should. You've got Wendy Chu from NXT. You've got Sol Ruka from NXT. You've got Rosemary and Jordan Grace, who are two knockouts that have been synonymous with the division for a while, working with NXT's best talent right now. Some of their strongest in-ring talent. So I like that they're giving them that shine and that opportunity to work together. Sol Snatcher into an attempt at the Juggernaut Driver, almost finishes the match, but Tasha Steelz gets involved. She breaks it up, no contest. Masha Slamovich comes in, makes the save, and Tasha Steelz escapes. We're going to a six knockouts. I don't know, what do you call them? Is it a six knockouts tag when you have NXT women? I don't know. Leave it in the comments. What do you think? What is it? Does that become still a six knockouts champion? Because what do we call it? Leave it in the chat. Maybe it's just a six woman match, trios, something. Who knows? I like that Masha and Tasha are getting involved in this whole thing. And I like that we're going to have eventually the Knockouts World Championship come into play, because Bound for Glory is quickly approaching. We are a month away from the show, and there's a lot of stories to be told. So with that in mind, talking about Bound for Glory, Frankie Kazarian is backstage with GM Miller, and he is such a great piece of garbage bad guy. He's all talk. He's willing to go to any extreme to win a match, but he's also willing to do anything to get the win. And he's got good bite. He's not all talk and no bite. He actually can back it up in the ring because he has the experience and he has the stamina. He says every head must bow and every tongue must confess to Frankie Kazarian, the king of TNA. And they say Nick Nemeth is going to be on commentary. Other people feel differently about Kazarian, including Joe Hendry. We'll talk about that in the main event, but I thought this was effective. It was a really, really solid promo from Frankie Kazarian. Ryan Lambert with the super chat saying, I loved that this show was women/knockout heavy. I did too. There's a lot of really good stuff going through the knockouts division in TNA and also the NXT women's division. I talked about it last week. Putting those spotlights on those women who are just typically backstage at an NXT show, shown on camera, but not really working with anyone. This is a good opportunity for this talent exchange to not only get them the reps, but it's also an opportunity for the crossover and the movement, the stories that they aren't getting elsewhere. They're getting in TNA. They're getting those opportunities. And I really like that. And this was another example of that. And of course, we've got Heather Reckless. And we're going to talk about that story. We're going to talk about what's going on with Lei Ying Li. I have to remember it's how to pronounce it. I'm used to Xia Li. I'm used to Xia Zhao. Now I've got to remember for TNA. She is a TNA knockout now. Lei Ying Li. She made her debut tonight. We'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But first, we got to talk about this fantastic match. Jonathan Gresham defeats Laredo Kid. Now, I know I make this joke frequently. Cresta and I have done it for years. What happens when a luchador comes to TNA? They lose. Unless it's Laredo Kid. That one time he won the Digital Media Championship out of nowhere. And then, well, AJ Francis beat the shit out of him. Anyway, not important. Laredo Kid comes in. Has an excellent match with Jonathan Gresham. Listen, I still have my feelings about the Jonathan Gresham character. I like that he is aggressive. I like that he's back to being aggressive. I miss what he was doing wearing the mask. I miss the alter ego. They made a bit of a hint at it last week that they were going to bring it back. Maybe that's going to be later. But it's just a story that I felt like it did have some legs. Maybe it had some tentacles. Sorry, I digress. This was an excellent match. There was smooth limb working from Jonathan Gresham. He targets the leg, but he also goes after the arms. He goes after just about every pinpoint he can on Laredo Kid. And Laredo Kid is the high-flying luchador who continues to fly around Gresham and create that movement while Gresham, Gresham's a stocky dude. He's not the biggest dude in the world, but he's strong and he's thick. And because of that, he looked good when he'll not only beat you up targeting the limbs, but he'll also know how to be smooth and kind of move around the body and also move around the ropes. And both men are really good at that too, where they can hit those smooth top rope maneuvers, whether they springboard first, second, third rope. It's some really good stuff. Gresham eventually gets very aggressive with the knee, Laredo Kid's knee, and just kind of smashes it right into the, can't do this with two hands onto the thing. Anyway, sorry, audio listeners. He smashes the knee into the mat until Laredo Kid taps out. That's it for Laredo Kid. Gresham gets the win, and they make reference to needing to climb up the ranks leading into Bound for Glory. So I have some, maybe some thoughts that Jonathan Gresham will be part of something with stakes going into Bound for Glory. Maybe it's the X Division. Maybe it's a tag title. I don't know. There are some people already staking their claims, but we still have about 4 weeks until that comes through. Santana is backstage. He's got a chain. He comes in. He beats up the system in their locker room. Allegedly, we don't know because the door was closed and the camera was outside, but the chain was rattling and people were screaming. I have to assume that Santana got the best of them, but we don't know. I feel like this is leading to Santana and Moose in some sort of blow-off match. You could do it at Bound for Glory. You can do it at the TV tapings. I'd like to save it for the pay-per-view, make it a big moment. Santana beating the system finally. And let Santana move on from there. Let Santana... We're going to talk about this in the main event. Someone remind me, if you're still here at the end, remind me, Santana, Bound for Glory, main event. Just those words. Someone make a note of it and remind me later, just in case I forget. Sometimes I forget. We'll talk about Santana in a little bit, but I would love to see Santana, Moose, one-on-one, could be a chain match, I don't care. Some sort of hardcore, doesn't even have to be a hardcore match. They're going to do Monsters Ball. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it feels like those two can probably go at it in some sort of match that's not going to step on the Monsters Ball match that's been announced for Detroit. We'll get to that in a little bit, shall we? Maybe you guys will get to it soon. Who knows? Zachary Wentz and Ace of Base defeat Speedball Mike Bailey, the X Division champion, Kushida, and Leon Slater. Going into this match, I was... Okay, I've told people before, I do read the spoilers going into these shows because it gives me more to think about, and it lets me kind of wonder how they shape these matches. I don't see them, but I get the results, and therefore I kind of figure out what we're going to do or where we're going with certain things. This was a match that kind of confused me until I saw what it was all about. And the match was all about getting shine on not only Leon Slater, but also Kushida, again, telling stories in the X Division and getting some sort of opponents lined up for Speedball Mike Bailey going into Bound for Glory. I'm, again, hoping that it's not another multi-man match, or if it is, it's something completely different that they haven't done with the X Division, but I have no idea what that looks like just yet. Maybe it's King of the Mountain. Maybe it's the X Division King of the Mountain match. Bound for Glory is a time where you can move this stuff and have fun, but instead, I feel like it'll be some sort of multi-man match. There's one spot that I have to point out that I love between Wentz and Speedball. You know the tackle, leapfrog, get him again type of finish, or not finish, that sequence. There's a moment where Speedball jumps up for the leapfrog, and Wentz grabs Speedball's leg in midair and just flops Speedball onto the ground. Nobody does that. And then he turns it immediately into a snap German suplex. That is innovative. That's the shit that I love. That's the best kind of stuff. And I think that that proves once again that Zachary Wentz is very good at this. No one should ever be surprised by this, but in a singles match, Wentz went off with Speedball, had a great match. He's about to go off. Wentz is to have a match with Wesley in a street fight in Chicago on NXT this coming Tuesday. That's going to be a fun match, but it makes sense. Wentz gets the victory in the end, hits the UFO on Leon Slater, gets that big win. And of course, because you're going into that street fight, you're going to make Zachary Wentz look strong. I don't think Wentz is going to beat Wesley, but this is a pretty good start. Speedball's backstage and he gives a stamp of approval later on to Leon Slater. Basically does a chin up, tits out, and watch for the shoe, but does it in the X Division style. It was very funny. It's the first thing I thought of as he's telling him, you know, chin up, chest out, and keep moving forward. And I'm like, is he doing Tony Storm? Because I like that he's maybe doing Tony Storm. Leon Slater is absolutely the future of the X Division. That Speedball Mike Bailey has called him that. When Speedball is ready to either move on or, you know, become the elder statesman in TNA, whatever he decides to do, Leon Slater is the person that absolutely falls under the next category, the next up guy. Big fan of his. A lot of people are. Speedball is the ambassador of the X Division, as AO's saying in the chat. That is true. You see him not only proudly carrying the title, but also defending it at various indies and making you know, making the case for not only being one of the best X Division champions in TNA history, but also one of the strongest in terms of quality of opponents. You've had a lot of really great X Division champions over the first, you know, really the first 10 years of Impact. And, you know, regardless, he's got it. I'm not biased. I swear to God, he's got it. Let's move on, shall we? Dina with Jake Something and Alexander Hammerstone. Jake Something's pumping iron in the back. It's what you do when you're on your breaks of work. You just lift weights. That's what I do when I'm not on camera, right? Spend all my time. No, I don't. Who am I kidding? Diener calls out Something for his bad choices. Okay. I like that they're still doing the Diener and Jake Something have a history. Jake Something's clearly frustrated. He doesn't feel like he's been, you know, succeeding. He calls himself, he's sick of failure, he says. And then Diener basically just calls Hammerstone a bad influence and says, this is not the guy you want to be with around. This is not the guy you want to be with. And then Hammerstone just says, you're pathetic, Diener. I challenge you to a fight. And Diener's like, do it for the people, I guess. I almost expected Diener to like slap slap Hammerstone. He didn't do it. Instead, he just accepts and walks away because he'll eat his words next week when they do the match or whenever they do the match. And that's fine. Diener's not made to be a winner or a champion here, but he's here to tell a story. He's here to produce a story for not only Something, but Hammerstone as well. And those two as a tag team, I hope Something comes from that, because Jake Something has been someone that I know I've been talking about on this show for years, and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. When the X Division was starting to get some momentum behind him, that suddenly just dropped. So I'm hoping that whatever this Hammerstone and Something story is, that they work together. I know right now that Something and Speedball are DPW tag team champions. They've been tag teaming in other companies as well. They have that going for them. So Jake Something, he's absolutely, you know, he's great as a singles guy, but you can do him as a tag team guy as well, and it would probably get over very well. And Hammerstone, who's been a bit lost in the shuffle, there was the whole, at one point it was supposed to be Hammerstone and Something, and then that match didn't happen. So now they're teaming up. So let's do something with these two men. It's really weird to say Something while you're talking about Jake Something, and I'm sure he knows that, but I'm sure he smiles when it happens. Diener and Hammerstone, that's going to be up soon. Laying Lee makes her debut. She defeats Hayan. Yes, it's pronounced Hayan. Yes, we've interviewed her on In the Weeds. Go check that out. We actually interviewed her before the 2023 Queen of the Indies when Masha Slamovich won. Well, in 2024, this is fairly recently, guess who the Queen of the Indies was? It was Laying Lee's opponent tonight. Hayan is the 2024 Queen of the Indies. And who did she defeat to win it? Well, the 2023 winner, Masha Slamovich. Hayan had a good showing. I really appreciate the work that she does, the selling she does for Laying Lee. Laying comes in with a lot of fanfare. People should be impressed, should be excited for her, because not only does she have that charisma, she also has the skill. She's also legitimately knocked out WWE superstars in the ring over the past time she was there. So while I hope that no one gets injured, people, I hope, realize that she is legitimately a fighter. There was one story that always went around. Towards the end of her WWE tenure, she was about to do some sort of kickboxing event in Florida. And she didn't tell anyone. It wasn't like the office didn't know about it. And then they suddenly caught wind of it at WWE. And they're like, you can't do that. And they pulled her from it. She's a legitimate fighter. Like, she can beat my ass if I said anything bad about her. That being said, though, the match was really good. Hayan is fantastic. I really do hope that we get to see more of her, especially as TNA starts to beef up their knockouts division, bring in more of these stars of the independents who are really making a name for themselves, and also just continue to prove themselves as good wrestlers and also as people who could be great characters, because it's more than just the wrestling. I always say, once your character is locked in and dialed in, you're doing something great. That's why I keep going back to the Gresham thing. That's why I keep doing it, because that character had something. I wanted to see more of that. That's why I keep going back. But anyway, we're not talking about that. Thunderstruck tornado style kick gets the win for Yaling. I'm going to do it again. Lei Ying Li. I'm going to get it. I swear to God, this is my first week. So give me something here. And then they say on commentary that her name roughly translates to Thunder Shadow. So Thunderstruck makes a lot of sense. Good stuff here. I'm looking forward to what they do with her. I assume they're going to keep her as a babyface for a while because she's getting those reactions for her first time out. They're portraying her as such through socials. And she has that, again, that charisma. There will be time for her to be a heel down the road. But we're going to talk about that with somebody else in a minute that may surprise you, or maybe not. Who knows? I'm weird like that. Give you both sides at the same time. See what you want to do. Let me get a drink real quick.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Love that dinner. Isn't it great when it's just me? I gotta keep talking and filibustering just to make my point so that you don't get the dead air. But it can all skip. Just use smart skip if you're using an iPad or not an iPad. If you use a podcast app, use the smart skip. Ace of Bays, they want their contractual rematch. Now, I don't like this. I like where it goes. We'll get there in a second. But there's like this is something that I've always thought about, and I'm glad that they mention it, but I'm also infuriated that they mention this. They're like, System, they got their contractual rematch out of Ace of Bays, and then Ace of Bays, now they want their contractual rematch because they also lost titles to System. This is the problem with champions wanting their rematch, is that it keeps going. And I don't like that either. You have to beat them twice to keep the titles and move the other team to the back of the line, or you just keep hot potatoing the stupid titles. So I want them to get rid of the contractual rematch, or at least stop using it as a booking crutch to get to whatever match you want to do. The Hardys interrupt, though. Matt and Jeff interrupt Ace of Bays. By the way, Sean Ross Sapp had to sit down with the Hardys recently. That just went up, actually, I think yesterday on our channel. So go check that out. Slap a retweet on the video when you see it. Comment below if you've seen it or not. And also if you have, what's your favorite part? But anyway, the Hardys, they come back and they say, well, we deserve a match because we've pinned the System twice in a row now. And I say, yes, you do deserve something for that. You do deserve an opportunity at the tag titles, or at least something to put you into title contention, because you did, in fact, beat the System twice. Now, you did it before they won the tag titles, but you still have more recent victories over them than, say, I don't know, Ace of Bays. They want the tag titles, do the Hardys. I'm fine with this. When AEW got both Hardy brothers, that was the plan. The Hardys win the AEW World Tag Team Championships. Now, I understand the stuff with Jeff got in the way, and that's not what happened. Now is the chance for redemption. As long as Jeff Hardy is healthy, and as long as he's in the right mindset and he's good to go, there's no reason why you wouldn't have the Hardy brothers win the tag titles one more time and have that moment. That's something that they deserve, in my opinion. And I've never been the biggest, like, oh, give it to the nostalgia guys, because I don't always like that. But this is a story that at least you can tell, and at least it doesn't have to be forever. It just needs to be long enough to prove they can still go, which they can, and that they would look good with those titles and give a little bit more prestige. Now, on the other hand of this is the TNA World Champion is also a former WWE guy, so I don't want to have too much of that going on either. It's hard to get rid of that brush when it's already been stroked on you. So Hardy's winning makes sense. They don't have to have it for long, but it would look good. Jeff Hardy, however, being a train after choo-choo was so stupid. Even Ace of Base were confused. Like, oh, I guess that's the new thing now. He's choo-choo, choo-choo. it was so stupid. But it's obviously got me, so who am I? Oh, Josh Alexander, however, he can get me. I knew where this was going. Not just because I told you already, I do read the spoilers, but also I could have told you this, at least cementing the heel turn was happening. But let's get into it. Puts over Joe Hendry. He admits that he lost. Crowd's chanting, "You tapped out." And he's like, "Yeah, I did. But I went out on my shield. I tapped out. It happens." And he calls out Eric Young because last week EY was like, "Hey, you got to get your shit together." EY comes out, puts over Josh and says, "You know, you're the personification of excellence and wrestling in TNA. EY, if he's the lifeblood, then Josh is the heartbeat." And I'm like, okay, now we're getting a little heavy handed and it feels like we're building up to something obvious. Well, they did, because Eric Young mentions the trigger word. Joe Hendry says he believes in him. And I feel like that's the moment, because Josh says, "Thank you." And they raise their hands. They do the tease of, "Oh, you leave. No, you leave. No, you leave." And then Josh hits a German suplex on Eric Young. In my opinion, should have kicked him in the dick. I feel like that's a little more impactful, but not my show, not my creative. Just would have kicked him in the dick. People know I'm a big fan of a good old dick kick, just to prove your point. Joe Hendry knows a good dick kick goes a long way, especially if you're wearing a cup. But it also makes sense to suplex EY on his neck, because guess who's had a bad neck for a lot of his career lately? And that's Eric Young. Macklin comes in to make the save for EY. And out comes Sinner and Saint. They align with Josh Alexander to the surprise of nobody, because last week Alexander kind of told them and Sinner and Saint looked at each other and were kind of like, I think we're going to do this. Sinner and Saint take out Macklin and EY. And now babyface Steve Macklin is something we are going to have to get used to, because it feels like we're going that way. When Macklin mentioned having respect for EY and then they had the tag match at Victory Road, yeah, they lost, but they still came together and they're going to be together. EY is the guy to get Macklin over as a babyface. And I really see some similarities between Eric Young and Steve Macklin in presentation. If Eric Young is the lifeblood, I think for the last few years, Steve Macklin has become that lifeblood in TNA as well. He's become not only dependable, but also someone whose stories are always just solid and on point, and they make sense. And while they're not always for a title, they're always something top tier, and they're always something with some level of importance. That's the Eric Young way as well. And I think the idea of having Eric Young, who is, he's got more years behind him than he does in front of him. And a younger guy like Steve Macklin, who is continuing to show that he doesn't need to be a world champion to be a significant member of the roster. You have those two team up, and EY gives that legacy rub to Macklin, who is trying to be a babyface for the first time ever in this company. Really, in most places, like, Macklin doesn't do babyface, and he's about to try it. I think EY is the right guy to try it. Macklin gets hit with a C4 spike by Josh Alexander, and this is another thing that I like about doing this. It's a role reversal. Josh Alexander, perennial babyface, trying it on the other side. Macklin, perennial heel, moving over to the other side. That's going to change the way the matches look. That's going to change the way that things are presented. I like that there's a story there. Those two have a history. You can absolutely go some places with that. And depending on who your champion is and where they sit on the depth chart, that's another thing you can use to your advantage. If Macklin is a babyface, your champion is not a babyface, well, guess what? You've got a whole new story that you can tell with someone like Steve Macklin on that side, just like you can with Josh Alexander being a heel going after the babyface champion. They just did that with Nemeth and Josh Alexander. Same thing. It's good. Santino's with Steph DeLander. They're talking about Steph's injury. She's presumably going away, but they kind of tease that she's not, because maybe she'll become Santino's second in command, but they didn't. They left it very open-ended, and I don't know what that means, But really, the vibe of this was that they're going to make Matt Cardona versus PCO in a Monsters Ball match, which I think, chat, I think you got that last week. I think we were talking about this, and some of y'all are saying this should be a Monsters Ball match. Well, it makes perfect sense. Monsters Ball, Bound for Glory. Both the TNA Digital Media Championship and the International Wrestling Championships are on the line. Just have Cardona win it and just trash the International Wrestling Championship. It doesn't need to be there. There's no point in having it. It was good for the Montreal stuff, but it doesn't need to exist. Sorry, I'm not having a moment on the air. The International Wrestling Championship story was great for what you were doing with PCO in Montreal. I think now we can officially retire it and move along from it. Okay? Okay. But Bound for Glory gets its first official match made tonight. Heather Reckless defeats Xia Brookside. Xia Brookside coming out wearing a 10-gallon hat and tassels. She's in Texas. Commentary makes a good joke about that. And of course, she's British, so it makes it even more fun. And Ash by Elegance, not to be outdone, comes out in her cowboy hat, cow thing. Her homage to Trish Stratus, fellow Canadian. Trish. She comes out with George Iceman to watch. Poor Heather Reckless. Her hair extensions come out mid-match. Xia Brookside taunts both blondes with it. And then I realize as I'm writing that, Xia is also blonde. Okay. Anyway, point is, Brookside keeps taunting more and more for the heels. And then it enrages Ash by Elegance. So Iceman does the same to Xia Brookside. And that allows Heather Reckless to hit the rarefied air, which is Ash by Elegance's finisher. And she gets the win as Heather Reckless. That's a tag team in the making, folks. I'm telling you, that's a tag team in the making. Ash by Elegance, Heather Reckless. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The Knockouts tag team division, it needed a couple more people, but it also has a lineage that's about to show up. And that's going to be Spitfire has it now. They'll defend it a few more times until they lose those tag titles to Reckless and Reckless and Elegance. And then that's going to bring back Havoc and we're going back to Decay. I think we're on that, but we'll find out soon. We got some time, but I feel like that's where we're going because the story still is Havoc's going to come back at one point. And if Havoc comes back, she's going to hopefully realign with Rosemary and get her revenge on Ash by Elegance. And I guess Rosemary's got to do something about the George Iceman / Ash by Elegance situation. That's been kind of side quested for now as Rosemary works with NXT talent. Who knows? That's where I'm going. Backstage, Ash by Elegance is hurting. Her dogs are barking, as they say, and Heather Reckless comes in and is like, did you see my match? Did you see how I looked? I did it for you. And George Iceman's like, yeah, you're a mess. You were reckless. And points to the rat's nest of a hair extension and says, we got to do better than this. So he leads both women to the limo, and next week we're going to see Ash by Elegance and Heather Reckless having a makeover for the latter. Good, why not? Be fun. Speaking of which, next week they're going to do Grace Ruka and Slamovich versus Steel Chew and Rosemary. Reckless gets her makeover. Macklin and EY take on Sinner and Saint. Love that for Sinner and Saint. Those two guys are gold in this division for the tag team division. Absolutely. And Ace of Base face off against the Hardys for the first time, which is a match I'm personally looking forward to. Main event time? Now, before I talk about FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, shall we? It's how we pay our bills here, along with the ads and stuff like that. But I'm giving you FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. Saraya announced tonight via Fightful Select that she has re-signed with AEW. They picked up the option year. We got that info and more over on FightfulSelect.com. Cardi B working with WWE. That dropped today along with SummerSlam 2025 happening in East Rutherford, New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. We got news on how the Cardi B stuff happened. We got that on FightfulSelect.com and tons of content, tons of answers. Our Fightful Select Discord is always popping. People talking all day and all night in that Discord. So if you're not there, $5 get you in at FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business. Most content anywhere. We get a lot of it. We really do. When compared to everyone else, we're really pumping it out all day and all night, baby. How did I really just make up all day, all night, baby? Anyway, not important. I'm going out. Again, Sean interviewed the Hardys. Go check that out if you haven't already. That's over on this YouTube channel right here. This youtube.com/Fightful. That's there. Main event time. Should you re-download Discord? Absolutely, yes, you should. Get your Humper Chats in, get your Super Chats in, because this is the big one. This is the moment you've all been waiting for, the TNA World Championship number one contenders match. Winner gets to face Nick Nemeth at Bound for Glory in Detroit. Joe Henry defeats Frankie Kazarian. This one is good. It was a little convoluted, though. Nick Nemeth is on commentary. I love that. This was funny. They make reference to the fact that Kazarian came out for Nemeth and Alexander and their match at Turning Point. And what happened? It was Matt Raywalt says, you know, oh, Kazarian brought me a scarf. What did you bring me? And Nemeth is like, I brought my world title. And then Matt Raywalt touches it. And he's just like, ooh, pretty. I thought that was very funny and very silly, but it was good stuff. Nemeth on commentary, very baby face, very rah-rah company, very best in the world type of stuff. Thank you for the reminder about Santana. We'll get there in a second. Henry goes and does the Frankie Kazarian intro bit, which was nice. Henry grabs the microphone from Jade Chung as she's about to do it. Instead, he goes and calls Frankie the winner of the 2024 Antonio Banderas lookalike competition. The dad from Spy Kids, Puss in Boots, gets a chant from the crowd. Tom Hannifin loves wrestling because of that chant. And then before he gets to the end of it, Kazarian blindsides Henry and we're off to the races. I'm going to say this. Joe Henry has done a really good job lately. And TNA has done a good job with Joe Henry lately. So what do I mean by that? TNA has done a really good job of putting Joe Henry in not only the limelight and in the spotlight, but also trusting him to get over beyond the comedy aspects. He still gets to do the comedy stuff and the creative stuff that makes him Joe Henry. But in the ring, he continues to prove that he can do that style, that main event stuff that they want to get from that. And like I said, Henry's held up his end of the bargain because his time in NXT, I think, was quite invaluable. I think he did a little bit of finishing school. And I think he spent a little time getting to understand what you get from a WWE style system. TNA is probably closer to a WWE style presentation than, say, AEW. It's not a knock at anyone. It's just a presentation commentary. And I think that Henry fits that bill a little bit more. Excuse me. So as a result, both sides have put the investment in on each other, and I like that it's going the right way. He's being treated as the star that TNA always thought he could be, but I think for a little while they weren't sure what that was going to look like. Now they have a better idea. Match goes on. The match is fine. Kazarian towards the first finish. Spoiler alert. I mean, we're talking about the match, so you already know. Kazarian finds his brass knucks. They're in his ring vest that's sitting on the floor by ringside. Everybody sees it. Everybody and their mother, everybody not named Daniel Spencer sees it. Hell, Joe Henry probably saw it as well. Frankie Kazarian grabs those brass knuckles, and then as Henry goes to try and stop him, pop right in the face, Joe Henry gets laid out by Kazarian. Everybody's yelling, everybody's screaming, but the referee, Daniel Spencer, counts three. Kazarian is declared the winner, but Nemeth gets up from the announce desk, grabs the knuckles that are right at his feet, shows them off to Spencer. Paige Prinzavalli, who's the other referee, comes down and says, hey, you're right. And then Santino Marella comes out, restarts the match, says, you know, we're not going to have it like this, especially with the main event for Bound for Glory in the line. So they restart the match. Henry gets the win the second time around, hits a standing ovation, gets the victory. Henry versus Nemeth is the planned main event for Bound for Glory. So I don't remember if we really talked about this last week. I don't think we did, because I didn't want to get too far into the weeds Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Fightful Overbooked, because I didn't want to give out taping spoilers. I try my best not to do that on this show because we're really focused on what's happened that week presentation wise on the show. Well, now you know. Joe Henry, number one contender, taking on Nick Nemeth as of right now for the TNA world title. So, JBL, he's come out now twice in a row in terms of the PLEs. Came out at Emergence. He came out at Victory Road. At Emergence, he showed up and just kind of whispered sweet nothings into Nick Nemeth's ear. At Victory Road, he came out and he helped fight off the system so that Nemeth could get the victory. That match was Moose against Nemeth, in case I misspoke and said Alexander, because that was Emergence. Sometimes I get my timelines mixed up. JBL. Everywhere else that JBL has been, he is very much the heel. He is very much the bad guy. He's very much the guy that you can't trust. NLW, he's doing it as a bad guy. GCW, he's doing it as a bad guy. AAA, he's there. He's a bad guy. TNA is the only place where he has shown up and not been considered the bad guy because he's working with the champion who is the babyface. I don't think Joe Hendry is winning the world title at Bound for Glory. I think that it's going to be JBL basically turning Nick Nemeth, or Nick Nemeth turning to align with the proper alignment of JBL, which is as a heel. That's where I'm at. I could be wrong, but if JBL is being presented literally everywhere else as the bad guy, it wouldn't make sense for TNA to be the only one where he's not, because everything seems to be working in tandem for whatever JBL's doing. So I think that Joe Hendry might be a casualty of this. Whether or not people are a fan of that, that's a whole other can of worms. That's another story. But I could see that being where they go. Now, Santana. Thank you, Chad, for reminding me. I said it before and I said it again. Santana is really up next. You beat a former world champion like Moose, that's going to play a little bit further and maybe hard to kill. And I've made this comment before, and it's always been like, maybe at Bound for Glory, maybe at this event, maybe that. I think maybe at Bound for Glory, you would see Santana maybe beat Moose in some sort of match that puts him over. And then it's either final resolution. I doubt it. Hard to kill. The next pay-per-view could be the crowning of Santana 1 year later. That could be the moment. I guess it would be less than that, because he came back at Rebellion, didn't he? They ran the same venue twice for those pay-per-views. You got to give me a break. I went to Hard to Kill. Every match is this. Every venue is the same now. But anyway, I digress. Having Santana come in and really rekindle his main event run, having that end with the TNA World Championship match with Nick Nemeth, who has recently turned heel, could work. It could work. Where does Joe Hendry fit in on this? Maybe he's just not the world champion yet. But that's just it. TNA still does pay-per-views. They still do pay-per-views. You still pay-per-view. The premium live events of the TNA Plus shows that you can also... semantics. We're not doing this. That's in the weeds. We do that on In the Weeds. But that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know if we're going to see the crowning of Joe Hendry. I don't know, because his contract is another topic of conversation where, you know, you don't know when it's up. Some people say substantial amount of time. Other people say less, not as much time. Do you want to put the title on him? Do you know where he's going? And do you know what you want of him? Or do you finally take advantage of what has been the hot hand and you move the title over to Joe Hendry? It's less impactful to do it when you've got two baby faces going in the match. Maybe the crowning of Joe Hendry is later on, after Nemeth officially turns heel because of the JBL stuff. Maybe that's the crowning of Joe Hendry second time around. Maybe Joe Hendry wins the title at Hard to Kill. Maybe that's when you do it. But all feelings right now is that if you're doing a babyface match, to me, I don't think you can crown a new world champion in that world and really make it a moment, especially for someone like Joe Hendry, who's been fighting from underneath. I see Ryan in the chat saying, you don't see Joe winning the title in TNA, but it could play to him gunning for the NXT title. It could. I feel like one of those wrestlers that are going to finish up with TNA and possibly move over to NXT, I feel like they're going to play something of a crossover role, because this talent exchange that they've been doing with NXT and TNA, something's got to happen where one crosses the bridge to the other with some sort of title implications. That's a good story to tell. But that's kind of where I'm at with this main event for Bound for Glory. Is it going to be good? Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping that the story that they tell is not just a good one, but also one that gets heat behind one member of this match. I feel like Kazarian and Nemeth will happen sometime before Bound for Glory, maybe at the tapings in Spartanburg. We'll find out. But for now, you got two matches on the docket for Bound for Glory. You've got PCO and Cardona in a Monsters Ball match, and then you've got the main event, the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. It's going to be Joe Hendry versus Nick Nemeth. Let's see where that plays out. Let me know where you think it plays out. Leave it in the comments, or just say hi. Leave a TNA chant. I don't know. Do whatever you want. It's your engagement. It's how I like it. But we'll be back next Thursday, as we always are, talk about TNA. But for, I guess, the Ring of Honor crew, why not? You'll find me. I'll be in the weeds tomorrow, as I always am, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 10 a.m. Eastern. If you haven't subscribed to Fightful Overbooked yet, you should. And, of course, subscribe to this one. Leave a thumbs up on the way out. Till then, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Ladies and gentlemen and friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.